Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Varel Coast to Coast.
And we are back. Pharrell Coast to Coast, hour number two here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Carver High in for Scotty today and all week long, rocking with you on the grid. It is Thursday, and what does that mean? Every Thursday in the second hour, our lead NFL analyst here at Sports Grid, Warren Sharp, joins us from the MGM National Harbor in Maryland as we get ready. Week 13 kicks off tonight. Warren, good to talk to you, my man. No Scotty this week, but you got me for the next hour, baby. Let's rock.
I got you, buddy. It's going to be a ton of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. This card is absolutely outstanding. Love the games that we got on tap this week. Can't wait to break them down with you over the next hour.
Yeah, this is a good one. I mean, we've had a couple of Sundays where even the late window, Warren, it's been like, all right, well, you know, Rams, Chiefs. I mean, let's go here. Seven games featuring teams 500 or better. The calendar flips in December, and we got some great football, Warren.
Well, the other thing, too, even the games that don't feature great teams, we've got two bad teams going up against one another. We got two average teams going up against one another. I mean, you look at a game like the Detroit Lions versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. Both teams were kind of preseason darlings amongst some people to bet their season win total over. Both are sitting at 4-7 in a massive game that they're playing. I think there's only two games where the point spread is above 7 points this week so far. So, I mean, there's going to be a lot of competitive games. I'm really looking forward to it.
Good teams, bad teams against each other. It doesn't matter, Warren. There's tickets to be had no matter who's out on the field, good, bad, or indifferent. Let's start with tonight, Thursday night football. The Bills, 8-3, coming off the Thanksgiving win in Detroit against the Lions. Go to Foxborough. Patriots lose also on Thanksgiving in Minnesota against the Vikings. Kind of an uncharacteristic game for them with all the points that were being scored back and forth in that one. Bills concern me, Warren. I'm a big Bills fan. Watching Allen the last few weeks clearly doesn't look right since he hurt his elbow at the end of that Jet game. What are you expecting tonight in Foxborough?
In three of his last five games, he's completed less than 60% of his passes. That's obviously very atypical for a quarterback like Josh Allen. The one thing we know, though, I mean, Brian Daboll has moved on, but one thing that he should have laid out here is the game plan for which to beat Bill Belichick's defense. And they've had a ton of success, with the exception of that game played in the virtual hurricane, of scoring points and scoring points quite frequently against the New England Patriots defense. And so I look for them to go back to some of the things that worked pretty well. And one of the things that they did a lot of when they were playing in the last game of the season, the second game last year, as well as in the playoffs, was they reduced the frequency of running back runs on first down, on second and long. Let's run our backs in short yardage situations. Otherwise, we need Josh Allen to run the football, or we're going to throw some passes to the running backs. And that's exactly what their philosophy was to have success, because Bill Belichick is going to be able to try to make you a little bit one-dimensional. He doesn't want Josh Allen to scramble. He doesn't want Josh Allen to be able to hand the ball. They're going to try to force Josh Allen with his elbow, in my opinion, to throw the ball down the field. His deep stuff, they've been hit or miss, but the intermediate things has been what has been really off for this passing attack so far. And I absolutely expect them to lean a little bit more on the legs of Josh Allen here. We saw that against the Detroit Lions in their last game. When that game was close, when everything was on the line, Josh Allen's going to run the football. I think a full week off, they're going to continue to do that. And then on the other side of the ball, I do worry a little bit about the offensive line of the New England Patriots. How much are they going to be able to pass protect for Mac Jones? We know Von Miller's out, but the Buffalo Bills are still going to try to dial up some pressure here against Mac Jones. I see a lot of pass attempts that are thrown short to Ramondre Stevenson in the future, and I see this team trying to kind of matriculate the ball down the field. We've seen a lot of money come in on the under. We've seen a lot of money come in on the New England Patriots in this one so far.
And we do welcome in all of our radio affiliates for Coast to Coast. On a Thursday, we're talking with Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst here at Sports Grid. He's at the MGM National Harbor in Maryland, Sirius XM 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us. You mentioned Stevenson for the Patriots. Extra work for him tonight, too. No Damian Harris. You're right, that offensive line's banged up. Bills are getting Rousseau back. We've seen these totals in the primetime games kind of switch in the last week or two. Suddenly we're on a six-game run of overs here, Warren.
Yeah, see, I know that this is definitely a talking point amongst some of the more casual NFL bettors. They're like, oh, just bet the unders in primetime or just bet the now bet the overs. I look at these games as an individual game. I don't look at them in conjunction with anything else. I'm reluctant to bet the over in this game only because of the offensive line. But I do absolutely think that there's not a lot of value in the under at this number unless Bill Belichick dials up something very unique and very different here.
Warren, I know you've got the one game parlay for this. We're going to come back and talk about that. I don't want to cut you short because we've only got about 30 seconds left to go here. So we got Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty. Warren Sharp with us from the MGM National Harbor in Maryland. We'll go through all of the games throughout the next hour, as we always do here on a Thursday. And we'll come back, hear from Warren about some teams taking their foot off the gas, red zone struggles, and the one game parlay for Bills Patriots. We keep rocking on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. It is Thursday. We are talking to our lead NFL analyst, Warren Sharp. He is at the MGM National Harbor in Maryland. All right, Warren, before we move on from tonight, please let everybody know, one game parlay. Of course, we got the Sharp Insurance Bet MGM. What are we rolling with tonight, Warren?
Okay, so I told you before, I'm big on Ramondre Stevenson. The thing about this one-game parlay that you have to know is that BetMGM, and when you utilize this, if you lose one leg, you're going to get your money back. So it's a great way to get a little insurance there. This parlay plays plus 250. I'm going Ramondre Stevenson, 30-plus receiving yards and 4-plus receptions. I'm going Devin Singletary to have at least 2 receptions, and I think Josh Allen is going to run the ball. He's going to get at least 40 yards on the ground here. So that's the one game parlay. If one of those loses, you get your money back, pays out plus 250.
I love it, Warren. Let's cash it, baby. Bills Patriots tonight in Foxborough, Thursday night football. Before we get into the rest of the slate, Warren, let's talk about a couple of general topics here around the league. And one of the notes you sent was about teams taking their foot off the gas late in games. And I could tell you, and I'm sure many bettors can, we've seen it time and time again this NFL season. You've got a team with a big lead at half, and suddenly it just evaporates. Miami last week, up 30-6 or whatever it was against Houston, and you had to hang on for dear life for that cover. What's going on with teams taking their foot off the gas?
Every single week, this is a phenomenon. It's happening. We've had 106 games decided by one score as a result of teams taking their foot off the gas. That's way more. That's more than we've seen since at least 1989. We are seeing, last year was only 86. This year, it's up to 106 games through week 12 being decided by one score. part of the reason is these teams that are leading in the second half of the game, they're scoring only 9.5 points per game, and they're being outscored by their opponent. Last year, these teams were scoring 12.5 points per game in the second half of games when they led at halftime, and they were outscoring their opponent. So they kept the foot on the gas, and they continued to score points. This year, they're taking the foot off the gas far too early. I'm not sure if it's player health, player safety. They're trying to just take it easy and end the games, or if it's the way that the defenses are playing with encouraging runs, using lighter boxes, forcing more of the teams that are leading to face third downs as a result. And so these teams are now finding themselves in some coin flip situations where they fail on third down, and now all of a sudden they're going to punt the football with a lead in the second half, and the team that's trailing is just, you know, their foot is down on the gas pedal all the way to the floor, and they're trying to come back into games, and these prevent defenses that the teams that are up are playing are allowing them to score points. So what this is good for is, number one, if you're going to bet a favorite, if you're laying points with a favorite, really consider the first half and really take a look at what these teams have done historically on the season. What are their coaches likely to do in the second half? Are they a team like the Dolphins that will tend to take their foot off the gas very quickly if they're up in that third quarter? And then secondly, if you're looking to back a dog, maybe the favorite jumped out, in-game betting or halftime betting is definitely in play a lot more this year than it has been in years past. You're going to get some of these favorites that are taking their foot off the gas, and you're going to be able to cash tickets with dogs that you bet on during the course of the game or at halftime.
You think that adding the extra game here is as maybe factored into it in terms of the player safety, like you mentioned? I mean, I think that that might be something where these coaches are looking at each other and like, man, we got to play 17 instead of 16, maybe a little bit more of a grind. You think that that's partially a little bit part of it?
It could be part of it. I also think, you know, with regard to player safety, is less practice time. So we're seeing in the next subject, we're going to talk about some red zone situations. We're seeing teams practicing less red zone, practicing less short yardage. These things that the teams that are leading need to try to convert. We've seen a lot of these teams fail down inside of the red zone. They can't continue to score points because they're failing in the red zone and giving the ball back to their opponent, who then is driving aggressively down the field with a deficit that they're trying to erase.
Break it down for us, Warren. Why is scoring down this year? I mean, as a bettor, you can see it. You look at the card every week as we've gotten deeper into this season, and you see, I have never seen more totals between 39 and 42 than you have this year. It's amazing how many games have been in that small window around 40.
It's just so abnormal, so atypical of what the NFL has become with the quarterbacks and the high-flying offenses and the passing attacks. In part, it relates to the way the defenses are playing with more two high shells and keeping everything in front of them. We're seeing fewer explosives and fewer big plays. But once teams do get down into the red zone, they're really struggling to score points. So it takes them longer to get there. And then when they're there, they're struggling. How are they struggling? Well, they're scoring less frequently. Trips that are resulting in scores of any kind are down to a low since 2011. And the number of points per drive that are being scored. So you're down there, you're scoring touchdowns maybe, you're going for it on fourth down, or you're kicking a field goal. How many points per drive on average? That's at a low since 2014. So we haven't seen numbers like this at all recently. What is the problem? Well, let's start with what is working. What is working is running the football with your running backs, handing the ball out, especially in spread, and letting your running backs do work against these defenses that are more so sitting back and inviting the run. We are seeing efficiency out of those running back carries at a high since 2008. So more teams need to lean into handing the ball off to their backs. Don't do it out of jumbo, though. Spread the defense out and then run the football with your backs. Secondly, quarterback designed runs are doing fine, and quarterback scrambles are at a high in EPA per play since 2001. So EPA running the quarterbacks is doing really well. What isn't is passing the football, particularly when the defense is not blitzing and they're playing coverage. These quarterbacks are struggling to get through their progressions quickly enough. They're holding on to the football for longer than ever before, and they're still taking pressure at a pretty high rate, even though teams aren't blitzing them. So offense has got to figure out, this is the way the defenses are playing us, let's figure out what plays that we can start introducing into our playbook that will take advantage of coverage where defenses are sitting back, that'll get the ball out quicker than what's currently happening. And if you don't have a quarterback that's going to make those progressions, let him scramble a little bit more and hand the ball off to your running backs at a slightly higher rate.
Seems like, Warren, to me, that that's why some of these teams that maybe people thought weren't going to be that good coming into this year. They had low win totals preseason. Atlanta, Seattle, teams that we thought were going to be absolutely dreadful are in the mix in December, albeit the Falcons because their division sucks. But they're in it in December because they're able to run the rock when they get inside the 20.
If you look at the top 10 teams down inside of the red zone, the vast majority of these teams are running teams. These are teams that like running the football. Of course, you got your Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City Chiefs as the outlier. They always will be as long as they have that freak of a quarterback on their roster. But for the most part, teams that are able to run the ball and like to run the ball, have a good O-line to run block and decent running backs, those are teams that are scoring at a pretty high rate down inside of the red zone.
Let's start to dive into the rest of these games for week 13, Warren. Let's start with 2-4-7 teams, but two teams that have played really well over the last month to 6 weeks. Detroit and the Jaguars in Detroit this week.
Yeah, everybody's saying that the Jaguars are really getting back on track. I look at their defense. They held the Ravens to just one punt last week. If that sounds like a low number of punts for the Ravens, it's because it is. The week before that, the Ravens punted 7 times. 2 weeks before that, they punted 4 times and 4 times. Now they only punt the ball once. They drove into the red zone and threw 3 touchdown passes that the receivers dropped to the Baltimore Ravens offense. They settled for 3 field goals inside of the Jacksonville Jaguars' 12-yard line. Jaguars had to come from behind and rally for a late win. That's the second win that they've had, I think, since week 4 of the season. Their other win was when they beat at home the Las Vegas Raiders when they were down 21-7 in that game, I believe. So I just don't have confidence that this team should be laying points of any kind in Detroit. They are playing better football, are the Detroit Lions. Close loss against the Buffalo Bills. I think that the Detroit Lions have a shot here at winning this game outright and improving to 5-7.
Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Warren Sharp is with us. We will come back, continue to dive in to all the Week 13 games. Pharrell Coast to Coast, back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hunted. Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty, Sports Grid, and Sports Grid Radio. It is time for The Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM. We have Warren Sharp with us, our lead NFL analyst at Sports Grid. We also, don't forget, get a risk-free wager up to $1,000 at BetMGM when you use the promo code COAST2COAST. That's COAST, the number 2COAST. Risk-free wager up to $1,000. All right, Warren, let us start the lion's share with a really good one. We set a lot of good games this week. Rematch of the AFC title game in Cincinnati. The Chiefs and the Bengals. A little revenge on the mind for Patrick Mahomes. Burrow might be getting Chase back this week, which is huge. I love this game coming up here this week.
I do too. Double revenge for the Kansas City Chiefs here. But one of the things, I want to start on the defensive side of the ball for the Chiefs. They rank league average, like right around 18th in defensive efficiency. They've played one rushing attack all year that ranks above average. They've played one red zone offense that ranks above average. We aren't talking like a top 10, top 5. We're just asking for the bare minimum. Just don't be terrible. They have hardly played any teams that fall into that category. I absolutely think that the game that they're going to get out of the Cincinnati Bengals is going to stress this Kansas City Chiefs defense. Kansas City Chiefs defense is going to look worse than what we're accustomed to seeing. If you look at the last 4 games that the Kansas City Chiefs have played, they have played 3 defenses that on early downs rank bottom 5. Number 28 Titans, number 29 Rams, and number 30 Chargers. Over the second half of the season, there is not a better offense than the Cincinnati Bengals in EPA per play on early downs. They also rank top 4 at avoiding third downs by converting first downs on first or second down. So they're efficient on a per play basis and they're avoiding third downs. And the Kansas City Chiefs defense has not been playing teams that have offenses like this. So I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to have some success here, but that's not to say that I don't think the inverse is true as well. If you look at the teams that the Cincinnati Bengals defense has gotten to go up against, since they lost Jadobia Awuzie, their number one cover corner, to an ACL tear, they've played the Carolina Panthers, who started P.J. Walker and then Baker Mayfield. They played the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are starting a rookie quarterback in Kenny Pickett. And they played the Tennessee Titans with Ryan Tannehill. That's the three offenses that they've played. None of those teams really want to pass the ball. None of those teams really want to test an injured secondary like the Kansas City Chiefs are going to do here. I'm really fascinated to see if Lou Anarumo, we haven't said this phrase a lot this year, uses his rush three drop eight strategy, which means that he's going to keep eight guys back and try to force the Kansas City Chiefs to run the ball here. But in either case, I think the Chiefs are better built to deal with what Lou Anarumo is going to do defensively. And I think they're going to have some success running the ball if that's what they end up needing to do. I think that there's going to be enough points in this first half to go over this low total. You can get it at 26 points. I like the over at that. I took it at 25 and a half and gave it to my subscribers, but 26 still has plenty of value. 26 hits less often than you might imagine. Anything below 27, really, I like the over. I don't like the full game over, though, and the reason why is because of the defensive adjustments that Lou Anarumo tends to make. Teams do not score much, and if you look at the last two games that the Chiefs played against his defense last year, Kansas City Chiefs scored 3 points in the first meeting in the second half and 3 points in the second meeting in the postseason in the second half. I don't want to have to deal with those second half adjustments. I want what Andy Reid brings to the table at the beginning of the game. I want Joe Burrow really putting the pressure on this defense. I like the over in the first half.
Yeah, I was going to say that to you. We just spent last segment talking about all these games between 38 and 42, 39 and 42, and bang, we got a 53 sitting at us with the Chiefs and the Bengals. But you're right, the adjustments that the Bengals have made in the second half, very key there. Next one, also 4 o'clock East window on Sunday, a real good one. The Dolphins are 8-3, top of the AFC East. They go out to San Francisco, start of a big three games for the Dolphins, at the Niners, at the Chargers in SoFi, and then at the Bills in Buffalo. Mike McDaniel returns as well. That is part of the storyline. Do the Dolphins continue to score points against a very good defense?
It's all going to come down to how quickly they can get the ball out of Tua's hands here, which is pretty quick. They do have a very low time to throw. That's one of their strengths. But their offensive line is really decimated. I mean, they're down their left tackle, Teron Armstead, although I don't know if he's officially going to be out. They say he's going to play through his injury if possible, but I'm not quite sure if that's going to happen. They're down Austin Jackson, their right tackle. They're using some backups at other spots on the offensive line. So it's going to be a challenge for the offense of the Miami Dolphins here against what is a very good San Francisco 49ers defense. Now, I think the 49ers are going to have some familiarity with the rushing concept that Mike McDaniel will bring back to town, since they're so familiar with the way that the 49ers offense ran the ball against them, and McDaniel uses some of those same philosophies and concepts. But I think the passing attack of this Miami Dolphins defense could have some success against this Niners secondary. I'm just wondering if we're going to get Tua with enough time in the pocket to have that success. On the other side of the ball, you really need to pass the ball against this Dolphins defense. They are such a pass funnel unit. You don't want to have a lot of run plays because their run defense is elite. You want to try to throw the ball against them. One of the reasons why the Houston Texans struggled so quickly out the gates, I mean, the Texans want to try to run the ball. You can't run the ball against a team like the Dolphins, and the Texans don't have a good passing attack. Jimmy G, if his knee is okay, needs to be dropping back and throwing the football a lot. Kyle Shanahan needs to come out with a game plan that involves a lot of passing early on in this game. They do have the receivers to make hay against the secondary of the Miami Dolphins. I just don't know if Kyle's going to come with a more balanced approach early and then have to lean into the pass when the run doesn't work. I don't know how quickly he pivots. So there's a lot of questions to me, including what that final injury report looks like for the Miami Dolphins on the offensive line.
Just to stay with the Niners for a second, Warren, yesterday here and on the line share, we were talking about the futures market and the odds to win the NFC. And the Niners have now pulled even with the Eagles. I think they're both plus 230 right now at BetMGM. Despite the Eagles being 10-1, most likely going to have home field. Do you agree with the Niners being even with the Eagles on the odds board?
Well, I think part of it is the way that the NFC West is trending, right? That some of the teams that they're going to be playing, I mean, these teams are just imploding in the NFC West, whereas the NFC East is the strongest division in football right now. So the Eagles still have games against some of those teams. And as a result, I do tend to believe that the Niners will have more success winning games down the stretch here. And I think this Eagles game, we're going to be talking about it next. I think that's going to be a great game against the Tennessee Titans.
Let's talk about that one next, with Tennessee going to take on Philadelphia. Of course, we have the A.J. Brown storyline that we can build into this as well. Titans very good against the number this year. As we know, they're 8-3. Eagles have been good at home. What do you see happening in this one?
Look, if you're looking to back a dog, I don't know how you not back a dog like Mike Vrabel catching this number of points. He is the best record in the NFL as an underdog coach, on the money line, covering the spread, you name it. He is outstanding, and he gets his team ready for games like this. The other thing that's just puzzling about this line is, earlier this week, this line was Tennessee catching 6 points. Last week, the Green Bay Packers closed catching 6 points against the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia, exact same venue. We just saw the Tennessee Titans go into Green Bay, into Lambeau, on a short week, and win that game by 10 points against the Green Bay Packers. So how are the lines the same earlier this week? It did not make much sense, which is why we've seen this line drop now down to 4.5, which is probably closer to where it should be. I think that there's matchup edges here too for the Tennessee Titans. They like to run the football. That's the weakness of the Philadelphia Eagles. The Tennessee Titans are good at stopping the run. That's what the Eagles like to lean into. I think the Eagles, a forward-thinking organization, are probably going to come out with a more pass-heavy approach, because that's how you attack this Tennessee Titans defense. You want to attack their secondary. The problem is, we've seen since Jalen Hurts has come to town, although he excels when he can work in the play action and pass off of that, like, if you go in with just a pass-first approach with Jalen Hurts, it has not worked quite as well. What difference does A.J. Brown make for them this week? He knows some of the ways that this Tennessee Titans defense likes to play, and the secondary calls that they have, and the personnel individually that he could try to take advantage. So I got to believe that that's an edge to the Tennessee Titans, to the Philadelphia Eagles passing attack here. But I just think that the Tennessee Titans are going to be able to do enough here to keep this close. And keep in mind, you know, the Tennessee Titans, they've gone up against a number of running quarterbacks. They go up against your Josh Allen. I think that's one of the biggest X factors in the NFL, is having a mobile quarterback, or a quarterback can run. So I'm not suggesting that the Titans are going to eliminate that from Jalen Hurts' repertoire in this game. But I do think that if any defense is going to help try to minimize that, it's going to be the Tennessee Titans. I don't see the Philadelphia Eagles getting anywhere close to running the football for 300-plus yards like they ran it against the Green Bay Packers last week. I think this game's going to have to be won with Jalen Hurts' arm, and the Eagles tend to take their foot off the gas a lot in the second half, which will create some opportunities to come back in this game for the Titans. Keep in mind, the Eagles are down two starting cornerbacks as well, and Ryan Tannehill is healthier than he has been over the middle part of the season. So I think they're going to have some more efficiency when they do need to pass the ball if they fall behind into an Eagles secondary that's down two starters. I just think that this game could be close throughout, and I think the points are valuable.
And the Titans seem to be a team that usually does start fast in these games, right, Warren? I mean, they're a team that plays well in the first half, maybe doesn't score as much in the second half. And I know the Eagles tend to sometimes give up a few points early in these games as well. So that might be something to look early on. We are talking with Warren Sharp, Sports Grid's lead NFL analyst. He is at the MGM National Harbor. We will come back, start to go through the rest of the games for Sunday, week 13 in the NFL. Pharrell coast to coast here on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty. We keep rocking with you on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back, Pharrell, coast to coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. We are joined by Sports Grid lead NFL analyst Warren Sharp. He is at the MGM National Harbor in Maryland as we are rocking here week 13 in the NFL. All right, Warren, let's hit a couple of these other games. Pittsburgh off the win Monday night in Indianapolis against the Colts. They now go to Atlanta to face the Falcons. Tomlin has to be smiling. Pickett's gone three games in a row without turning the ball over. They win a football game. Now they go to Atlanta, who's very much in the mix in the South with the way the Bucs are playing.
I mean, this game doesn't seem sexy, but I love this game. I'm excited to watch this game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun because I just think the run concepts that Arthur Smith utilizes are very unique, and they're going to give the Pittsburgh Steelers potentially a little bit of trouble here. But I also like the other side of the ball simply because look at the schedule of defenses that the Pittsburgh Steelers have had to go up against. I mean, they've played a brutal schedule of opposing defenses, and now they get to go up against the Atlanta Falcons here. I really want to see what Kenny Pickett can do in this dome, having success against a defense that, you know, struggles to get after the quarterback, struggles to apply pressure. Will he be able to sit back there and navigate through his reads and get the ball out? I think this is a great litmus test to see where Kenny Pickett is right now in his professional career, late in his rookie season, in a game that the Steelers absolutely are looking to try to win, need to win. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I am looking for the Pittsburgh. We've seen some sharp money come in on the Pittsburgh Steelers in this game. I'm not necessarily willing, though, to lay points on the road with the Steelers team that I just don't have full confidence in. It did not look like TJ Watt to me against the Colts was back. You know, like he's back on the field, but he doesn't look like he has the same burst, same explosion, same willingness to wreck a passing game. And then you think about what the Atlanta Falcons like to do. They're not going to sit back and drop Marcus Mariota back to pass the ball 30 plus times in this game. So TJ Watt's impact on this game, I just don't think it's going to be very massive. We're going to really have to see how Arthur Smith dials up some of these run concepts and what the Pittsburgh Steelers try to do to adjust defensively to slow that down.
The Green Bay Packers season continues to spiral downward. The loss in Philadelphia on Sunday night. Rodgers gets hurt in the game with the ribs. Love comes in. I thought played pretty well the couple of drives that he was out there. Sounds like Rodgers is going to play in Chicago on Sunday against the Bears. As we know, Warren, a lot can change between Thursday and Sunday. As of right now, -3.5 for the Packers on the road.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers says he owns the city of Chicago. I don't see a reason to think that he's not going to be able to do the same type of damage in this game. Unless Justin Fields is back and can really occupy some time of possession on the other side, because this Bears defense, I mean, they weren't great to start with, and now they're just losing players due to injury. They already traded away a bunch of players that were starters. Now they lost a bunch of players that were their better defensive players due to injury. I mean, what do they really have out there? And that's one of the reasons why Mike White terrorized them even in the pouring rain and put up, well, like almost 12 yards per pass attempt in that game. I think Aaron Rodgers should have a nice bounce back offensive game here. When it sounded like Aaron Rodgers was going to play, I think some of the sharp guys knew initially and were betting this up to 3. Then it was announced that Aaron Rodgers is looking to play. And that line moved very quickly, like 4.5 points. And I think it's to be determined. I think Justin Fields practiced in full today, but are they going to put him out there or are they not? You know, this has all transpired in the last hour since I've been here, so I haven't been able to keep tabs on exactly what it sounds like Fields is going to do here. But if it's no Fields, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has no excuses not to put up some good numbers on this Bears defense.
Similar to what Mike White and the Jets did last week, as you mentioned, the Jets do go to Minnesota this week to face the Vikings. The Mike White stuff is fascinating, Warren. It is, because, I mean, you watch the game. He's light years better than Zach Wilson right now. Like, I bet you that Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore, they must have went to Salah's office on Monday. Like, can you just please keep this guy as the quarterback so that we can eat every single week? Now White goes to Minnesota getting 3. What do you think?
I think this Minnesota Vikings defense is semi-fraudulent. I mean, it's a while ago, but think back to Thanksgiving last week. Well, it's a week ago from today. It's going to be 10 days from the time they play this game. What did the New England Patriots do? We didn't think the Patriots offense was going to do that much. All of a sudden, Mac Jones is just throwing dimes down the field, and this team is running all over the Minnesota Vikings defense. And I don't see a reason why we can't get similar performance from Mike White here. If you look at the New York Jets and the defenses that they've played, They've played six games against top 12 defenses. They played a very difficult schedule of opposing defenses. They failed to clear 20 points in any of those games. Most of them are hovering right around 12 to 16 points scored. Of course, those are with Zach Wilson. When they play defenses that rank below average, they've done it four times. They've scored 27, 31, 31, and 40 points in those games. And most of those games were with Zach Wilson. You know, Zach Wilson, worst completion rate as a rookie, 55.6%. Okay, give him time. We'll make some excuses. Next year will be better. They got the receivers. Let's see how he does year two in the same scheme with the same OC. 55% completions this year. Same exact completion rate as his rookie season. No growth, no development, no maturity, no ability to move this offense through the air. And the lowest level of competence that you ask from your quarterback is to just complete a pass. I mean, your job is to throw the football. Complete a pass. We'll worry about yards per attempt and all these other things later. If you are the worst quarterback in the NFL in completion rate for two straight years, of course your offense isn't going to do anything. And this is why Mike White looks so much better and can move the offense so much better, is because he actually is able to complete passes. And so I'm interested to see how they fare against a Vikings defense that I do believe is a bit overrated.
And that's the thing. Like, it's, I don't even think, it's not that Mike White is like the next coming of Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. It's just that he's so much better than Zach Wilson that it causes the Jet fans and people that watch the games to think that Mike White is an absolute messiah because of what he does compared to the other guy. We'll stay at MetLife Stadium. Giants are home this week against Washington. Two teams in the NFC East going in absolute opposite directions right now. And Warren, I think this is such a crucial game for Daniel Jones, Brian Daboll, and the Giants, the way they're going right now. Another loss this week, and I could see them being the team by the time we get to week 17 that's on the outside looking in.
No doubt about it. I mean, they're kind of meeting their level. You know, the ship is meeting their level here because the New York Giants weren't supposed to be the 7-3 team, you know, to start the season. And they've run into some problems with an injury luck track record. They've gotten fortunate in some games earlier on in the season. They are still exceeding expectations no matter what happens down the stretch here, in my opinion. The Giants, they got the right coach. They hired the right man for the job. So at least they know that. And they know that Daniel Jones is not going to be in the plans for the future. The key is now just how good can they go down the stretch here. And I worry about the philosophy against a team like the Washington Commanders. This is a defense that you know what to expect. They're going to get after the quarterback with the pressure, and they're going to stop the run game. So how well can your quarterback throw the football with pressure? This O-line is beat up. They might be getting a little bit healthier, but I don't know yet. We'll see. It's still Thursday. Let's see what the Thursday and Friday injury reports look like and who's activated for the game. They might get Daniel Bellinger back, their starting tight end, who they've been without for a while. And Daboll and Mike Kafka are going to have to pull another rabbit out of the hat in this game, in my opinion, to have any efficiency on the offensive side of the ball against the way that the Commanders are playing defensively right now. I don't know that I want to back, though, the Commanders laying 2+ points on the road against the Giants, but there's no doubt about it. They are playing better football, especially on that defensive side of the ball.
Broncos go to Baltimore. Obviously, the Denver season has been an absolute train wreck. It's gotten so bad now. They're even like coming up with stories that guys aren't going to Russell Wilson's birthday party. They're getting 8.5 points in Baltimore against the Ravens. Lamar was on the injury report again this week. He seems to be on it every week, and he ends up playing. I always feel scared laying points like 8.5 with the Ravens with some of the games they've had this year, Warren.
Agree completely. I mean, this is a team, and everybody wants to blame Lamar Jackson and this Ravens offense. And sure, they have not been playing like we would expect, although take a look at who is contributing offensively, and I think we know why. We predicted this before the season started. They got the least expensive wide receiving core out there, and their tight end's been injured, and their backs have been injured once again for the second straight year. So what do you expect out of Lamar Jackson? But the reality is, this is a teaser leg. This is a perfect opportunity to tease this game down underneath the three. It's probably one of the best teaser legs of the week. I do not see the Baltimore Ravens dropping game. Think about it this way, Carver. They allowed 18 points in the fourth quarter for the Jacksonville Jaguars to come back in the game. The Denver Broncos are scoring 16 points or less in most of their games, like the entire game. So the odds that the Broncos are the team that's going to come back and put up 14 to 16 points in the fourth quarter alone. The amount to come back to win outright in Baltimore is pretty low. Also, I mean, the we know next week that the Miami Dolphins are staying in California for their road trip. They're going to play the LA Chargers next week. Denver Broncos could have just stayed out on the East Coast. They played in Carolina. Now they're going to play this game. They could have stayed out east in Baltimore or somewhere out east and not had to take the trip back and forth. They decided not to do that, and they're traveling. So, I mean, this coach is bad. This team is bad. I want nothing to do with backing the Denver Broncos here. This total has taken some money towards the under, but now some sharp money back towards the over. If it's going to go over, we're going to need a little bit in garbage time probably from Russell Wilson. I don't really have an opinion other than tease the Baltimore Ravens under a field goal.
I mean, almost everybody does that now, Warren. Whether it's East Coast, West Coast, the back-to-back weeks, they stay there. That's just another rookie head coach mistake by Nathaniel Hackett this year. I mean, that's really all you can chalk it up.
Why else would you schedule two games on the East Coast in back-to-back weeks? I mean, this is what teams do when they say, well, you got to play in Carolina and in Baltimore. How would you like these games? The league asks teams, and most teams say, put them one week after the next and we'll stay out east. The Denver Broncos said, put them one week after the next and then we'll just go back home and come back and go back and forth. It doesn't make any sense.
Nonsense. What can we realistically expect out of Deshaun Watson, almost 2 years since he's played in an NFL game, going to the place he used to play, so it's going to be a hostile crowd in Houston. Forget about how he's going to play. Can he cover 7 points in Houston, Warren?
I don't know. Another teaser leg for me is the Cleveland Browns here. We don't need him to do much. Just hand the ball off. I mean, this Houston Texans run defense is egregiously bad. Just let Nick Chubb go wild and just don't turn the ball over on offense. And I think that you'll fare pretty well here. I do have concerns about the run defense of the Cleveland Browns. It's also egregiously bad. Both running backs should have a lot of success here, but the Texans have been doing something weird where they aren't giving Damian Pierce like the lion's share of carries. They're really easing him in and working him in with some other guys. I mean, he's clearly their best running back. I'm not sure what they're doing there. They're moving back to Kyle Allen, who's not as good of a quarterback. So what message does that send to the team? And this is a game, if the Cleveland Browns didn't win last week, this still would be a game that they would have circled because of Deshaun Watson. But because they stole that win against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, this game means so much more. And if you're Deshaun Watson, what have you been doing for the last 3 weeks but studying the Houston Texans defense? Most quarterbacks middle of the season don't have that ability to study one defense for weeks. He's been able to do that since he wasn't playing. I think he should be able to have a decent game here. I'm not expecting good numbers. Just be efficient with the minimal that the team asks you to do.
I'm with you. All right, Warren, we will come back and finish it up. We'll quickly blow through the other games. Pharrell Coast to Coast, Carver High for Scotty. Warren Sharp is with us. We keep rolling on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back for El Coast to Coast Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty. We've got Warren Sharp here with us, Sports Grid lead NFL analyst from the MGM National Harbor in Maryland. All right, Warren, let's get through these. Seattle goes to SoFi to take on the Rams. Bryce Perkins again at quarterback. Does Seattle get back on track after a couple tough losses?
They should, but I don't know that there's any value in the point spread. I certainly would not want to lay points with the Seahawks given the state of their defense. The Rams should be able to run the ball a little bit here because that run defense is so terrible. I don't really want anything to do with this game. This game was going to be a great one before the season started, but because of all these Rams injuries, it's become an afterthought.
I want nothing to do with it either. Raiders and Chargers, crazy as always.
I do think so. I mean, this is we saw this week one. We saw them play, but we saw them last year. This was the game to get into the postseason, the last game of the year, went to overtime. Can't wait to watch this one. I'm intrigued to see the health of the final injury report of this Chargers team because they're going to need it. They've lost a couple players up along that offensive line. for them to have enough success here, they're going to need to get some of these guys up and running. But I just think we're going to see a lot of passing attempts here from the Chargers and a lot of rushing attempts here from the Raiders. And I think we're going to have a pretty good game, a very competitive game, which is certainly what the point spread dictates.
We had our first Jeff Saturday was never an NFL head coach before 3 weeks ago moment on Monday night. What the hell was he doing, Warren, with the timeouts? Is that guy serious? They're in Dallas on Sunday night.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's interesting here is the run defense of the Colts. The Dallas Cowboys have gone up against a lot of teams that have no run defenses. The Colts actually can stop the run a little bit. How often will the Cowboys look to run the ball late? That's what this game's going to come down to, is whether Dallas can cover this massive number.
Warren, tremendous stuff, my man. Enjoy the games this weekend. Scotty will be back with you next week. Thanks a lot, brother.
Hey, thanks, Carver.
There you go. Warren Sharp, Sports Grid lead NFL analyst. We will come back. One more hour to go. Pharrell Coast to Coast on the grid. Back after this.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, rechalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.